You're listening to another episode of JB versus Everybody. Yay! And now, here's your host, Dr. Brown.
And yeah, buddy. What's going on, good people? Welcome to another episode of JB versus Everybody. I am your host, Dr. Brown, forever known as Old Man Sloth, or simply just JB, depending on what you feel like calling me for the day. And I always say that I have a special episode, but this one's a little dear to my heart because I brought on somebody that I've known for what has to be close to, 25, 30 years. God knows how long have I known this person. And we have something in common. We are both biracial. And I thought it was a good idea for us to kind of discuss some of our experiences, some of the topics that I think many of you have always asked yourself. And it's up to me as an educator, as a mentor, as a celestial being known as the sloth deity, to help you guys and to guide you. And I want to introduce my guest to you today. Coming all the way from her living room, it is Pi Pi. Hey, Pi Pi, can you say hello to the people?
Hey, people.
Please, Pi Pi, tell us about yourself.
Well, we have known each other now for, I would say it's 26 years.
God damn, that's a long ass time.
Yeah. And we lived around the corner from each other.
In an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, because we're not going to give where we live at.
No. And yeah, so.
So let's, no, there is no timeout. It doesn't work like that. So Pi Pi, what the hell are you? Are you the female Drake? Can you tell the audience what are you exactly?
So my father was a white man.
Okay.
Jewish.
Uh-huh.
And my mother is Jamaican. So that would make me a Jamaican.
That's a very interesting mix. I believe that is very similar to one of the, I don't want to say best artists out right now because I don't like him. So F you, Red, because I know you're listening to this. But very similar. So for those who do not know, and I mentioned in a couple of my pods, I am, my father's African-American and my mother's Puerto Rican. So that also, and it, technically I do have like a little sprinkle of Native American from my grandma. So as you can see, I have multiple races, technically, right, in me as well. So let me just dive in right now. And I want to kind of focus on, like, this is almost like a little therapy session right now, okay? I'm going to get into my therapist bag because this is what I do. You know, I am a student of psychology. So I want to probe your mind a little. Is that all right with you, Pi Pi?
Sure. Go ahead.
Good. Fantastic. Now that we got the approval on the pod, let's see where this goes. Growing up. So now let's kind of go into your childhood a little. And here is my question, or question numero uno for you. Did you relate to one side of the family better than the other? Were you closer growing up to your mother's side or to your father's side?
So growing up, it was a mix.
Okay.
I wasn't necessarily closer to one or the other. So I got exposure to both sides. So my father's side, whether it be my uncles and my aunt, my cousins, I was exposed to that. I was very close with my father's second cousin, who actually played the role of grandmother in my life. And she was an instrumental figure in it. So I spent a lot of time with her. She was amazing. And I did spend time with my mother's side of the family also, but some of her family also was living in Jamaica and is still living in Jamaica. So I wouldn't say I was closer to one or the other, but as I got older, I more so became closer with my mother's side.
Okay, fair. So it's a safe assumption that you had exposure to both cultures growing up.
Right, right.
Okay, so how was like Thanksgiving in your house? if you even celebrate Thanksgiving, just want to be clear. Got to be responsible here.
So
I'm a journalist.
My father wasn't. He passed away. My father, he wasn't a religious Jew, so holidays were never a huge ordeal in our household.
Okay.
So I am actually the youngest child, and I'm the only child from both my parents. Okay. So my mother has two sons from a prior relationship, and my father had a daughter and a son. So I was the youngest and the only child, so from both of them. So I was the only one really in the house. The others were a lot older. Mm-hmm. So holidays were never like a big deal. It was just, I got exposed to Hanukkah. My mother would put up a Christmas tree. Thanksgiving, she would make turkey and Jamaican food. So it wasn't this big, drawn out religious experience, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. It does. So it's a safe assumption. And again, that, you know, so you celebrated both sides, right? It was a little bit of mom's side, a little bit of dad's side. Now, as a kid, because we're going to stay here for a little while, we're going to stay in your childhood. When other children, you know, I guess played with you or even tried to introduce themselves to you and they say, hey, Popeye, what are you? Was that a tough conversation for you, having to explain that, yeah, I'm half white / Jewish, half Jamaican? Like, how was that conversation?
So growing up, I didn't really think much of it because you're a kid. So you just say naturally where you're from or what your parents are. I remember a child in school asked me, oh, why is your mother darker than you? Why is she black?
Great, and I'm like,
right. And I'm like, well, that's how God made her. So that was my response as a child. I didn't really understand the concept of race and religion at such a young age. I just knew that my parents, one was black and one was white. So yeah. But my father always told me, mm-hmm. even though in the Jewish religion, you're only Jewish unless your mother is Jewish. My mother is not Jewish, but my father always wanted me to be proud that I was half Jewish. And my grandmother gave me a Star of David as a child that I still wear because it has sentimental meaning. But yeah, I had that since I was 3 years old, and he always wanted me to be proud. And my mother always wanted me to be proud as well as being Jamaican, half Jamaican as well.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And I guess the other question that I just kind of popped up in my head is, as a kid, like, did you relate or did you identify as being a little black girl? Did you identify as being a little white kid? Or was you like in this kind of in-between limbo state? So then when kids would say, hey, let me go play with Popeye, this black girl, or hey, let me play with this, you know, little white girl. I guess, you know, that's what I'm trying to just understand from you. What was your experience?
So I feel like my experience was kind of like a limbo.
Okay.
I didn't feel like I necessarily identified with being 100% black at that time or being white. I just felt like other. It was just, I'm biracial, right? Yeah. I'm a little girl who might not look the same as everybody or might not have this dynamic, but I'm proud. And I didn't really think much of it until I got older and I understood.
And that's fair, because I think I had personally a very similar experience. I know with Mama Duke, you know, my mom is a beautiful, tiny Puerto Rican woman who I blame every single day for not giving me height to be, you know, 6'2", 6'3", so I could be in the league and I would have been retired right now owning a NFL team. But that's another story for another day. But a lot of times just, you know, because I have black skin, I don't look, you know, I guess I don't quote unquote look like I'm Hispanic. You know, just kids in general, they're like, that's not your mother. You know, like when mom used to come to school for, you know, parent teacher night or whatever the case may be, or come pick me up. That's not your mom. I was like, yes, that is my mom. And then right. I remember I used to joke with people, but it's a little bit when I got older, but I used to joke with people. I was like, just look at my nose. Like my nose would tell you that I am clearly Hispanic because it doesn't flare out when I breathe. And I remember, you know, just saying that jokingly, but inside I kind of really did mean it. And that was in my head. That was how I interpreted that I was Puerto Rican. And like when my personal experience is really interesting. So growing up as a child, I want to say that I probably related to, this is really weird, but I probably related to or just got along better with my mother's side of the family than my father's side of the family. Like I remember
Was there any conflict when your parents got married or got together from either your mother's side or your father's side? Like, oh, why are you with a Latina woman? Or yeah. Did your...
That's a really great question. I think as a child, I'd never seen it because I think by the time my parents got together, you know, whatever conflict there might have been, it's kind of resolved. But I do recall, you know, just a few times where, you know, people would just look at us like if I'm out and about with my family, with mom and dad and me, you know, they're looking at us kind of different. Like it doesn't look like a family. Mm-hmm. And clearly it is. You know, kind of just going back, like I related just more to my mother's side. Like my grandfather and I'll explain later, but my grandfather, he had a bodega in Brownsville. And I remember I used to fly every time I was there. I used to fly to his bodega and I used to get the Super Mario gum. It was like a pack of cards.
I don't even remember that though.
Yeah, it was a pack of cards and this nasty ass strip of gum.
I just remember the Ghostbusters one.
Fair. Well, they had them for Super Mario Brothers. And my grandfather, he had like, I don't want to, this is probably gonna get him in trouble, but he had like a casino in the back of his bodega and he had a slot machine. And I remember I used to always go back there and I used to be playing slot machines. And I'm have to be no more than maybe like 5 or 6. Like I'm talking about a kid. This is probably the reason why I'm a gambler now and I have a gambler's mentality, probably because of my grandfather. But you know, like I just related to that side of the family more than my father's side. I remember when I used to have to go out to like my grandma and my grandfather's place, I used to hate it. I don't know why I used to hate it. I was just so uncomfortable there. And I would just go with my dad and he would try to always, you know, kind of, you know, help me embrace that side of the family. And I remember I would only go there because every time I went to see grandma and grandpa, I would get money. So it was like, I just had to hold out for 35, 40 minutes, sit there quietly because there's shit to do in the grandparents' house, but watch like, you know, novellas. Actually, that's soap operas. You know, novellas is really more on the mom side. And I was like, fuck, I got to deal with this. I got to deal with this. I got to deal with this. And then boom, I would get cash. I'd be mad happy. And then I would fly out of there.
Wow.
And I would go spend my money on like, you know, video games and stuff like that. Renting because, you know, it was too expensive to buy things. But like I also just remember as a kid, just remember being teased so much because I was mixed. And like, you know, like the black kids would never fully embrace me. Or the Puerto Rican or Hispanic, you know, children would never fully embrace me. And, right. You know, to your point, like I was always in that limbo as well. Mm-hmm. And that was always a struggle. But, you know, as a kid, you're not really thinking about that. It's just like, okay, these kids are being assholes.
I think you don't really think about it until you get to, say, junior high school or high school. Mm-hmm. And when it becomes more prevalent to you and people ask questions or they think you're a completely different race or ethnicity. So, yeah.
I agree. And that was always a challenge, like, especially once we got to probably, like, you know, to your point, junior high school and high school. And that was always interesting to me because I think I always struggled personally because I don't even want to say this on the pod, but I'll say it. I don't think I truly embraced, like, the Hispanic culture. And it just wasn't, I don't know, like, you know, I probably should be speaking Spanish. I probably should be.
People understand it.
I can read it. I can write it. And I can talk or I can speak it when I'm drunk. And, you know, once I start drinking, I can dance it too.
Oh, okay.
Because that's when the hips get loose. And that's when the culture really shines and I'm at my finest. But. Like, I don't like rice and beans. I know it's like all stereotypical, but like, I don't like rice and beans. Like, I hate rice and beans. I hate beans in general. And I remember Mama Dukes would make rice and beans like every day. And I think that's the reason why I hate it so much.
Is it called gandules?
Yeah, it is. Or for me, it's arroz con habichuelas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right.
Yes. And like, it was funny. So like, Mom used to make it every single day. And then when I went away for college and then I would come home and visit, she would make rice and beans. Like, I can't eat this. This is disgusting to me. But, you know, it's like so many just different things that I probably should be embracing or I should have. I probably could still do it if I really wanted to, you know, just embrace that side of the culture. And then, like, on my dad's side, I think just anytime people see me in general, you know, going back to high school, it's like, oh, he's Black. And then you're trying to explain to people that, no, I'm mixed. I'm biracial. I have another culture that I've been involved in or that I'm a part of, I should say.
Right.
And that's what was challenging me, especially because, again, why do I do this to myself? Why do I put myself out there? I don't know why, but I do know why, but like, I love Hispanic women.
Share with the people.
I love Hispanic women. I love all women, right? Again, this is before I retired. And this is before I followed the path of the sloth and became a humanitarian and a better person. But, you know, like, I would always try or I would attempt in high school even to, you know, talk to Hispanic women. And, you know, they were so embraced as part of their culture. That was always difficult for me. And I want to kind of know your experiences. You know, you're in high school and men are coming up to you, or boys in this case, or teenagers, whatever you want to call it, and they're interested in you. So is it white men that were coming up to you? Was it Black men that were coming up to you? Or who are you attracted to? Yeah, let's get there. Like, what is Pi Pi attracted to? Or who is Pi Pi attracted to? Is there one side? Help us. The people want to know.
The people want to know. Okay. I am attracted to Black men.
Hey.
However, I'm not opposed to
snowmen.
I'm not opposed to it.
Okay.
I actually ironically went out on a date with a guy who was Jewish and Jamaican.
Hey. Details.
But, no, there's no details with that. It didn't go anywhere. So that was actually very ironic and yeah. But I do prefer Black men. I'm not opposed to dating white men. I've dated in the past. I've dated Latino men. My preference is Black men. In high school, it was such a awkward time.
Oh, please. Let's explore it. I'm your therapist right now. Let's explore this awkward time. The people want to know.
No. I didn't really, and even to adulthood, I don't really have a lot of white men that approach me at all. It just doesn't happen. It's either Black men or Latino men. There's okay. I did go out on a date with a guy who was mixed. He was a whole bunch of mixes. But other than that, I've never really had white men try to pursue me.
So is there a reason, just out of curiosity, that there's affinity toward Black men? Is there something about them?
It's
a free space. judgment free.
I've known you for a million years. I love Black men. I love the culture. I feel like I can relate more. There's just so many shades. Light skin, dark skin, caramel.
That sounds awful, but continue.
There's just so many varieties, I feel. And I just feel like an attraction more towards Black men.
Okay.
Not to say that I can't be attracted to another race, but that's just my personal preference. I feel like I've noticed, and I could be going off the deep end. I feel like...
Oh, please. We like the deep end on the show.
This is just what I've observed. I feel like a lot of times when white men date Black women, they want her skin tone to look Black, if that makes sense. Like, it's very rare. I feel like I've seen white men, per se, with someone who's light skin, a light skin Black woman. Mm-hmm. I feel like even in the media, you see it a little bit more. Like if a white man is dating a Black woman, you can tell by her skin tone, she's a Black woman. So even with my father, like my father, a white man, and my mom is a brown skin Jamaican woman. So that's just what I've noticed. So I don't know. That's just what I've observed, but I've never, I don't know. They don't want none of this.
That's unfortunate because as such a beautiful, intelligent woman, I find that very hard to believe.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's okay.
Well, hopefully now, you know, once people hear this, they will definitely say, hey, who is this Pi Pi person? And then they go, oh my God, I need to get to know her a lot more.
I'm a little bit out of the game, so.
Are you out the game for what reason? Like, are you trying to follow your big brother here and his steps?
Yes, I am retired as well.
Good thing that we both know that you're full of shit with that, but we'll continue. We'll continue the conversation. So let's fast forward a tad bit, and I'm going to just keep hammering you with questions that come to me because this is how my mind operates. So you're getting ready to start a family. Right. And here's my question for you. And I know this is all hypothetical, but will you start to wonder like where your children would fit in? And, you know, as a woman that is half white, half Black, and just trying to ensure that you expose your children to both sides of that culture. And potentially whatever your partner is, assuming that they're not a similar mix as you. Is that something that's important for you to instill to your children?
I think it's important for them to definitely, well, let me backtrack a bit.
Please do. Humor us.
Like you had mentioned earlier that it's not too late to get more in tune with you want to get more in tune with your Hispanic side. I feel like even though growing up biracial, there's still so many things that I don't know or understand about the Jewish religion or even about some things about with Jamaican culture. So there, I mean, again, it's never too late. I mean, the world is your oyster. You can always learn and look up information and get information from your family. So I still feel sometimes a little bit out of touch, but I feel like I do identify more with being a Black woman.
Okay.
Whenever the time comes and I decide to possibly have a family. Uh-huh. I think it's important to let your children know as much as you can about where their parents are from and try and instill the most knowledge that you can.
I agree. So at the current moment, this is not something that you're actively trying to look into and learn more about.
Learn more about in terms of having a family?
Well, yes, I think we've concluded that you are looking into trying to have a family once you find a wonderful person to have a family with.
Right.
What? I didn't think you were just going to go out there and start doing, you know. I've known you for too long. I mean, hey, if that's what you want to do, I'm not going to stop you, of course. But, you know, if you want to just go, hey, and then, you know, go get a family, that's up to you. Listen, this is a judgment-free zone.
No. Okay. Yeah, it's never too late to learn more. So I am definitely open to that as well.
Do you believe or do you think because you're biracial in terms of your identity, do you think you're more open to others because of that? In terms of just, you know, fostering different friendships or relationships with people?
Yeah, I mean, I have white friends, I have black friends, I have...
And that sounds, you know, again, that just sounds horrible, but I know
it sounds bad.
I know what you mean. It's hey guys, I got one Asian friend here, and I got
I know what you mean. No, I do have a variety of friends of all races, yes, of all religions. I'm pretty open. I'm not going to be like, oh, you're white, I can't be friends with you, or you're black, oh, you're Latino, I can't have friends with you. So I feel like I can kind of get along with just, I think, anybody. If you're a good person and you have good morals and values, then it's fine. Like,
so because you're, again, you identify as being biracial, I guess, you know, from your perspective, you just have more of an appreciation, more of empathy for, I guess, you know, in terms of like just cultural diversity among others. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Good. Good on what I do. Fantastic. So I guess like, and this happens to me at times. So I was just curious. Again, I'm just a very honest and open person. I don't know why, since I'm giving away this information for free. But like, do you ever just feel now that, you know, you're a grown ass woman and you're adulting? Do you ever feel lost at times? Like, do you feel like at times that you just don't belong because you're biracial? Or you just struggle to fit in with a particular group? When you hear Black Lives Matter, do only half of you care?
No, all of me cares.
I'm just asking the question. I'm a journalist.
All of me cares. As I've gotten older, I just feel more in tune with my Black side. I feel when I look in the mirror, I don't feel like I see a white woman. I feel like I just don't really identify with that as much. Even though I am biracial, I just feel more in tune with my Black side and being a Black woman. Sometimes you can sort of feel lost, if that makes sense, though. Just because Black people might not approve. They may think, oh, well, you're white. But mm-hmm. then white people may be like, well, you're Black. Or sometimes people think I'm Latina or Latina and Black. So
just for the record, you do not look Latina. Just again, just throwing it out there. I know you've gotten it, but I'm just letting you know that from an expert.
I've gotten it.
You know that again,
it.
That's horrible to say, but it's fine. It's what I do.
I've gotten it. Even in sometimes with my own family, it's happened, like they'll be joking around, oh, like my Jamaican friend, oh, well, you're Jewish. Or the Jewish side would be like, oh, well, yeah, you're a Black woman. So it's kind of like, it's kind of awkward sometimes, even though I've been exposed to both sides growing up. it's mm-hmm. kind of like, well, guys, you're forgetting one part, or, you know, so I don't know.
Do you feel, because of that, do you feel pressure to pick one identity and stick with it? Because it sounds like you kind of did. It definitely sounds like you stuck with being a quote unquote Black woman.
I mean, I just feel more in tune in my heart. I grew up more so around my mother.
Okay. So because you have a closer relationship with Mama Dukes,
right,
you
right.
lean toward that culture.
Right.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, this is a therapy session. And I think a lot of people,
for everyone to hear.
yes. This is what happens in therapy. But I think a lot of people just in general, you know, they had, especially, not say everyone, let me take a step back. Many biracial individuals have these feelings. And a lot of times they just never expressed it, or just never understood it.
Do you feel like you lean more towards one side over the other?
Oh, I'm going to call a spade a spade. I 1,000% lean towards being a Black man in America.
Right.
And yeah, I definitely do. But I do. So here's the thing about me, right? Here's the thing about the sloth. Like, I identify as an American first. Right. And this is going to sound horrible. And let me explain. Right. I think just my values in general, my parents, well, take that. My grandparents are from the South. They're from South Carolina. And my father is from tri-state area. Right. Mom, she's technically first generation American. My grandparents are from Puerto Rico. Right. I think that's about 96% accurate. So, you know, just in terms of culture, like, I've just grown up in the quote unquote American culture, right? It wasn't anything necessarily that was Hispanic. There was nothing necessarily that was, I guess you can consider it Southern culture or a Black American quote unquote culture. And again, this is, I know I'm explaining this hard. So, you know, the audience out there, feel free to get me later in my mentions. It's fine. but like, you know, again, like, I never really lean toward one way or another. And I think that's the part that I'm really just trying to stress. And I think because you look at me, you see a Black man, I just identify more as a Black man because I had to deal with the struggles of a Black man, if that makes sense. So yes, that's why it was kind of easier, not easier, but this is the reason why I kind of identify with being just more on, I guess, quote unquote, African American in America. That made sense? Hopefully it did.
Yes.
Instead of being a Puerto Rican American. So, like, you get some, I don't know, you get some Patron in me, or some, what else do I think? Some Don Julio, definitely some tequila in me. Then yeah, you're going to see the Puerto Rican side.
Okay.
I usually reserve that side for when I travel overseas, but that's another story for another day. Why are you shaking your head at me, Pie Pie? Why are you shaking your head at me? I am answering honestly but there are things that I do once, you know, kind of this pandemic is over. Like, I do want to kind of, I don't want to say embrace my heritage, but
now,
what happened?
Have you done one of those, was it 23andMe or MyHeritage? Have you done one of those DNA tests?
Nah, it's not my thing. I know a few people that have done it, and, you know, mm-hmm. they found it to be beneficial to them. Like, for me, I just want to just kind of, again, I don't want to say necessarily embrace the culture, but I do want to learn more about my heritage in general. So once this pandemic is over, I do need to kind of start doing some research exactly how I'm going to do that. But I've gone to Puerto Rico a few times, but I kind of wanted to go back there really from like where my family was from, you know, kind of just learn a little bit more about that side of the family, you know, maybe take Mama Dukes with me so she can do all my translating for me. Just being honest, I mean, I got to get the Rosetta Stone And it's crazy.
So you're just going to use her for her service?
I'm not going to use her. How am I using her if she's going with me to enjoy the experience as well, right? If she gets a vacation, I get a translator. It's a win-win.
The way you said it.
No, it's not the way I see. This is why me and you don't get along at times, okay? This is you acting up. And I don't know, which side are you acting up right now? Is this the white side of you acting up, or is it the black side of you acting up? Because both sides right now are acting up, and I don't appreciate it. Okay? All right, buddy? You're better than that. Okay. All right, let's get back to you and your dating. Because this is a topic that I'm sure a lot of people are interested in.
I'm sure they're not.
So, hold on. This is important stuff here. Because, again, as you know, as a person that has listened to the pod, as a person that supports a lot of things that I do, I am also a relationship guru. I am a dating guru, okay? And it's my job to take the knowledge that I have in my head and celestial knowledge that the cosmos have given me so I can share it with you, my guest, and the audience, okay? So let's get back to you dating black men. What is so funny? This is the part where you say something. What is so funny, Paya?
I know this is going to be a bunch of foolery.
This is not going to be a bunch of foolery. This is very important stuff here. Okay?
Okay.
So, all right. Let's level set this conversation now. All right. Are you ready? Because I'm ready as well. So, Pi, at the current moment, your status is quote unquote dating. Right. So you're open to dating people.
I'm actually not dating.
Oh, even better. So now, ladies and gentlemen, she is willing to mingle. That is what she just confirmed.
I didn't say I was willing either.
Okay. So let's help you out. So Pi, what are you looking for in a potential other, significant other? Help me help you. Pi, the people are waiting.
I think it's important for someone to be loyal, educated, respectful, has ambition,
Yeah. That's it. That's the bar. That's the whole entire criteria.
I mean, look, I'm not here for this, JB.
Yes, you are. Because so here's my next question, right? Is where are you looking, or where would you find a person that is quote unquote biracial with these type of characteristics? And actually, even backtrack, are you even looking for someone that is biracial with these characteristics? Like, how are you picking? How are you filtering out people?
I'm not necessarily looking for anybody who's biracial at all. It just so happened that I randomly went on that date a few years ago with the guy who was actually the same mix as me.
So is it a plus for you, or is it doesn't move the needle?
It was kind of wild because I never met somebody else that their mother was Jamaican and their father was Jewish. So it was wild. It was.
How did that make you feel?
It was kind of cool.
Okay. So it was kind of cool. So we need to find you a community of these type of individuals, because it sounds like you can feel at home.
It was kind of cool, but I'm not looking to date someone who's biracial necessarily. I'm opened, if that makes sense. No, not that opened. But I'm not opposed to what the universe has for me, as long as the person is decent, and you know, all that good stuff.
Okay. So what it sounds like, again, this is just making sure I understand, because it's important to always have communication and two-way communication. So the information that you're sending my way, I want to make sure that I'm understanding it. I want to make sure I am processing it. And I want to make sure I regurgitate it in a manner that you agree with. So it sounds like, if I understand, for the men that are out there listening, Pi Pi does not have a preference. It's a bonus if they happen to be biracial, because there is some form of, I don't know, like a community almost. It's like, hey, we're both this. Is that an accurate assessment? What do you mean, eh? You just said it. What do you mean, eh?
I mean, but I also said earlier that my preference is a Black man. So
which one is it?
I mean, I could go either way.
Either way, in what way? I'm just asking a question.
That look you gave me was awful.
What look? You said you may go either way. I'm just asking.
In terms of race and or ethnicity.
Okay, fine. So last thing that I will harass you with as we kind of explore being biracial, kind of just expressing or sharing our experiences with people.
Mm-hmm.
From your perspective, as you're sitting there eating gummy bears, because I can hear you and your rapper.
Sorry, I forgot to mute.
What are the benefits or the positives that you have felt being biracial?
Honestly, I feel like I haven't felt any benefits.
How is that possible? Explain. Let's get into details here. Now,
benefits in terms
my
of,
interest.
Benefits in terms of what?
Anything. Like, what are the positives of being biracial? Pi Pi? Like, is that you get to be a little ditzy because you're half white? Again, stereotyping. I know. I get it.
No. I mean, okay. So the benefits is you're exposed to more than one culture, more than one race.
That's it? That's literally the only benefits you experience?
I mean, yeah.
That's it. So you want our audience of the millions of people all around the world in literally about 15, 16 countries that are listening. So they're going to take out from this conversation that we're having about being biracial, that it's okay. Like there's not much benefits.
I mean, my family's great.
That's it. That's all you got for us.
What are the benefits for you? Tell me. Share with the audience.
Whoa, buddy. All right. This is my show here. Okay. I will share the wonderful benefits that I've had as definitely being, you know, biracial. But again, I was hoping that you had some that we can explore. But fine, since you don't have any, let me be Mr. Positive Peter here. Okay. Benefit number one, because I am biracial, I was able to infiltrate circles that I thought I would never infiltrate before in my life. For example, here's a good one. In college, because I was biracial, I had an easier way or easier path to talk to Hispanic women. Because I would say, hey, I'm half Puerto Rican. And then they would go, really, you are? And then that's a great conversation starter. And it would lead to better conversations. And you're in their life.
So it benefited you in picking up women.
Not picking up women, Paya. Fostering relationships with people.
With women. Okay, got it.
With anyone, but in particular women. Okay? So if my buddy said, hey, Jay, I like her. And that's a circle of Hispanic women. I'm in there. Like, buddy, I got you. Give me a second. And I would go play the wingman, and they're more open to allowing me or embracing me as part of their circle. And then I say, hey, guys, hey, ladies, hey, wonderful woman. I know some fine gentlemen that I'm with. Let me introduce you. And then we all talk about how we can make this world a better place, because that's what we do when we're having these conversations. Why are you giving me this face as you literally chow down like a savage on these gummy bears? Huh?
And no, just to be clear, they are not edibles.
Well, I wish they were, because you are savaging these shits right now. Golly. And I'm keeping this all in. Like, the people need to know about the savagery that you're like literally biting off bear heads as you're eating them. Like a, I don't even know what it is. I can't even explain it, but it's just, yuck. Paya, like the way that this works is that this is a conversation. So you need to literally stop eating.
Sorry.
And participate Sorry, in the conversation.
I did not want to be rude. So I had to mute it so I can chew.
Yes. So Sorry. Again, this is where you participate in the conversation.
Yes.
So you're telling me again, just before I leave this audience of ours, that there is no benefits of being biracial.
I guess I never really thought about it, to be honest with you.
Why is that? Let's explore. I'm a big explorer. I'm like JB the Explorer.
I just never dug too deep into it, to be honest with you. The benefits to me was, like I said before, I was able to be exposed to, whether it be Hanukkah growing up or Passover, I was able to be exposed to going to Jamaica and, you know, interacting with my grandmother, learning the different foods and some of the culture. But I guess that's as far as I feel the benefits went for me, per se. I'm sure other people may say economically or it went a different way for them, but yeah.
That's it, huh? Well, let me get into my psychological back. And this is what I believe as part of the path of my sloth. So I believe that being biracial, and especially being biracial as a child, I think what it does is, to your point, it exposes you to multiple cultures. But I also think that it opens up your mind, your perspective on just people in general. And I think because of that benefit, like, you see things slightly different, in the sense of it's not all black this, all white this, all that. I think as a person that is biracial, again, I just think, especially growing up, I think that kind of just makes you open-minded. So I think that's one of the true benefits of being open-minded. I think also, just as a kid growing up, and anyone that kind of had to experience or deal with the trauma that occurs, you know, trying to fit in between, you know, whether I'm this culture or whether I'm that culture, I think there's a true sense of strengthening that occurs within you. I think because you have to, you know, like for me in general, like, I just like to think you have to have like thick skin. And I think you kind of grow up having that thick skin. So little things don't bother you as much as it may benefit or it may bother someone else. I think that, you know, of course, if you don't foster the trauma as you're kind of growing up and you're learning and you're understanding that it can lead and can be a little bit negative, and, you know, it really can fuck with your mind. But I think in terms of if you take those experiences, I think you can really learn from them. And I think they can make you just a better person in general. You see how I did that?
That makes sense.
Well, duh. I mean, I'm a doctor.
Do you feel when you were in junior high school high school or college that there would be negativity to you.
Absolutely.
JB thinks he's all that because he's Puerto Rican and Black. Oh, he's just showing off. Oh, he thinks he's too good. Did you get any of that?
Well, I think, yes. I think there's a few different things, right? I think, you know, you have to, or me personally, I've experienced probably a lot of prejudice. And you kind of shared some of it your way is, okay, well, you're not truly Black. You only have Black. So, you know, you get, oh, you're half this or half that, kind of like I was bothering you, you know, just to kind of highlight some of the things that we experienced. You know, another misconception is that people think, you know, I'm accepted in both cultures. And that's not necessarily true, right? Again, you know, kind of like we explored a little bit with our experiences. Unfortunately, you know, we're kind of in that limbo at times, unless we find others that are similar to us, or just others that kind of appreciate you for who you are in terms of just a human being. And sometimes that's kind of rare. I hate to say that. Or the struggle that we kind of talked about earlier, right, is, you know, you're almost being forced to kind of identify with one culture versus another. Like all of my friends, you know, so I for those that may not know, my audience that does not know, I had the opportunity, I had the privilege of playing high school football. I had the privilege of playing, you know, getting drafted, but getting scouted, playing.
And this would be the Al Bundy story.
Shut up. I had the opportunity to play Division I college football. And the reason why I'm bringing that up to the audience is because a lot of my best friends that I made on the team are Black. So naturally, I kind of just, I was always with them, right? So I'm always with, you know, wonderful African-American men. So naturally that I kind of just went toward that side of the culture. You know, maybe there was a group of Hispanics on the team. I potentially could have went toward that culture or kind of fused the two, whatever the case, I don't know. But since my closest friends are, for the most part, all African-American, I kind of, you know, lean toward that side of the culture. So, you know, when you're in these circles, you know, you're not truly learning about the other side of the culture because you're spending so much time with one side of the culture, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So, they, you know, that's always fun, you know, and because you're biracial, you know, even within your own circle, there's tons of jokes. So I know, like, yes. my wonderful, illustrious friends would call me Juan. Yeah, it's funny and shit, but yo, that's not nice. It's being me. So in college, you just call me Juan just to fuck with me. But it's all cool, again, because I know it wasn't just. But, right. You know, I was lucky to know that, you know, they're just joking. But I know that there's a lot of people out there that would hear that type of stuff, and that's not a joke for them. They take that serious. Like me, again, I'm a little bit more happy-go-lucky and that I'm a little bit more just carefree. So stuff like that doesn't bother me. And again, I think that just happens to me being, like I alluded to earlier, being biracial and just growing up, having the thick skin, having to kind of deal with, you know, being in that limbo state.
Right.
That's it. That's all you have to add to this. Just right. Outstanding feedback. Thank you, Pie Pie. The people really benefited from that.
No, I definitely agree and understand what you're saying. Although I have friends of all races, religions, ethnicities, I do. Some of my closest friends are Black women.
Okay.
One of my other close friends, she is Palestinian, and that's. Okay. We grew up together as well. So, you know, I definitely have leaned more towards the Black side because I've had Black friends in high school and I used to run track for a short time in high school. So most
That's very important to know. So you had a track booty.
Most of the women.
Of the women had track booty.
Most of the women were Black women on the team.
Not womanizing. I am not womanizing and I'm not objectifying. I'm just clarifying.
So I was around more Black women or Latina women. So I was just, you mesh with the culture more. So
did you also experience jokes from your teammates about being half white?
I would think just in not even teammates per se. I think people would be like, oh, she thinks she's all of that because she's light skinned. Those types of jokes. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Who's even mentioning that? And I hate that comment because I feel like, I don't know if that comes from insecurity with oneself, because I'm at no means am I talking about my skin color. At no means am I talking about anybody's skin color. So I think that was such a big thing. And it was really hurtful because you're judging without even really knowing me. You're making an assumption.
Yeah. And you know, we really didn't touch on it, but then, you know, that's a really good point. I think because we're biracial, you know, you do have to deal with colorism.
Yeah.
And especially in your case, you know, definitely more than me. Because for whatever reason, well, not for every reason, we kind of know it, but Black people do discriminate among each other because of the color of their skin. And, right. You know, we can go into a whole different lecture about that, you know, in terms of what we're seeing in the media, mm-hmm. you know, especially, you know, how women still are. I don't want to say it's less now, but it's been a slight improvement, but just how women have been portrayed in media, right? You had to be light skinned to be, you know, socially accepted, especially the times of where we were growing up. All we seen was light skinned women. So the right. fact that you were a light skinned woman, you know, they looked at you as, oh, she thinks she's all that, you know, this high yellow woman.
Right.
So, you know, that's something that you also have to kind of experience. And then it's tough. It really is tough. And I hope as we kind of, you know, get older and this world starts to get a little bit better, you know, we see less of that. But, you know, colorism is not going away anytime soon. All we can really do is just, you know, instill within our children, instill within our circles, you know, just being a better human being and, you know, accepting all colors.
Right.
And hopefully that becomes a domino effect and the next generation improves, the next generation improves till we get to the point where, you know, people are looking at each other that they ain't shit and it has nothing to do with color. It's just because they're assholes.
This is correct. This is correct.
Well, you know, again, I just follow the path of the sloth. You know, I just try to, you know, just cool out on my little branch, live a simple life, provide guidance, you know, to you, to my audience, to others. And I really hope people kind of just appreciate the conversation that we had today. We really want to explore more of your dating side, but we're not going to do that today.
Yeah, there's not much to explore there.
Yeah, I think we'll get some men on with you next time. And maybe I'll do a live podcast, almost like a virtual dating. We'll see.
Yeah.
And I'll coach you through it.
No.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we need to do. Well, Ms. Pai Pai, I thank you for your time as always. Any last words that you'd like to give to our audience?
Be safe out there. It's a crazy time for everyone. And just try to have a positive outlook. And hopefully at the end of COVID, everybody would have came out of this as a good person. And yeah.
Well, Ms. Pai Pai, we absolutely appreciate that message. We appreciate your positivity. Thank you again for being a wonderful guest who destroyed gummy bears and ripped off their heads and really didn't want to deep dive on something that I wanted to discuss, but it's fine. So with that being said, to my wonderful audience, thank you for tuning in to another episode of JB versus Everybody. Hope you are staying well, staying safe, and blessings to you all. And a cut.